We're going to do it afterward. We're going to correct it afterwards. This is, I'm trying to remember how long. I don't think I have a time limit on it. We'll probably going to be 20 minutes and then we'll correct it. Why don't you go ahead and go to the library and hopefully we'll get through this. And then we'll send Tilly down to get you.
Okay. I might be in the tape part.
Okay.
No. Definitely a closed Bible test. Should have it in your heart anyway, right?
Tape students, pick up file 16, Jeremiah Lamentations, test number 1, chapters 1 through 10, and intro.
So we'll check at 20 after and see if everybody's done. It's a relatively short test, so. Thank you.
How many need more time? Okay, we'll go another 5 minutes and we'll see what happens at the end of 5 minutes. How many still need more time? Okay, let's exchange papers then. Two names as correctors. Use a different colored pen if possible. Mark only the minus points. Number one, approximately how old was Jeremiah when he was commissioned by the Lord as given in class? Answer is C, between 20 and 25. C. Number two, considering the meaning of the name of the city from which Jeremiah came, which one of the following truth applies? Remember, it was Anathoth. D. Jeremiah was come forth to testify to God's people. D. 2D. Which of the following prophets is a contemporary of Jeremiah? Answer is C, Zephaniah. Isaiah was before, Zechariah was after, Hosea was before, and Haggai was after. Number four, how do we explain the apparent composite nature of Jeremiah's book? A, it was written in several stages over the course of a long ministry. Number five, which prophet refers to Jeremiah's prophecy of the 70-year captivity? Answer is C, Daniel. Number six, if there's any questions on these, we'll take them at the end of the test. So, number six, what did the vision of the almond tree signify to Jeremiah? The answer is B, God would be watchful and quick to perform his word. God would be watchful. Remember, it's the watching tree, B. Seven, give the meaning of the symbolic seething pot that Jeremiah saw. E, raging war was coming in from the north. Number eight, who was king when Jeremiah's ministry began? The answer is B, Josiah. Number nine, and yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 10. What does the word treacherous mean? The answer is D, faithlessness. 9D. Number 10, the Lord asked Israel why he has drunk from the water of Sihor and the waters of the river. What two countries do these rivers represent respectively? Answer is B, Egypt and Assyria. 10B. Number 11, referring to question 10, what is the meaning of this metaphor? The answer is E, Israel has sought sustenance through alliance with these states. Number 12, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee, etc. What is a more accurate translation for the word backslidings? The answer is C, apostasies. Number 13, two answers here. According to Jeremiah 2:35, Judah had deluded itself into thinking it was innocent. How? The answer is B, because there was a partial reformation during Josiah's reign, and E, they had yet to see the judgments foretold by the earlier prophets come to pass, and assumed that they must therefore be guiltless. So the answer is B and E. Well, I'll think about it. It says on the question, all right for credit. In other words, you'd have to have both. But I think what I'm going to do is give 2 points apiece on those. So number 13, it's 2 points for each answer. Number 14. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increase in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall no more say, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. Why is this? The answer is C, because Jerusalem will become the throne of the Lord. They won't have to worry about it. They won't even think about it. God will be there. The ark represented the presence of God. And instead, God will be there. Number 15. Why was Israel more justified than Judah in regard to the sins of both nations? The answer is C. Israel had no true temple or priesthood, nor an example to learn from. So 15 is C. Number 16, then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, Ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. What does this verse mean? The answer is A. Jeremiah sometimes prophesied of peace. But here he was prophesying of Judah's destruction, and he could not reconcile the two things in his own mind. I think we also said it may have referred to Huldah's prophecy also. Prophecies of peace in Josiah's time. Number 17. Why did Jeremiah turn to the great men with his message? The answer is C. He hoped their response to his words would be more favorable than the response of the poor masses. Number 18. God threatens to do something in Jerusalem similar to what he had done to Shiloh. What happened there? The answer is C. The sanctuary there was abandoned by God. I believe it was also destroyed. Number 19. Where was Tophet located? The answer is B. The valley of the son of Hinnom. B. 19b. Number 20. What infamous practice was carried on in Tophet? The answer is D. The offering of their sons for a burnt offering to Molech. Number 21. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. This is the only verse in the book of Jeremiah written in Aramaic. Why was it put in this language? The answer is D. When the Jewish captives were invited to join the Babylonians in idolatrous worship, this was to be their answer. Therefore, it was written in the language of the Babylonians. Number 22, in chapter 10, God tells Judah not to learn the way of the heathen. He further exhorts them not to be dismayed at that which the heathen are dismayed at. And what is that? The answer is C, signs of heaven. The signs of the heavens. So 22C. Add up the number wrong. And multiply the number wrong by 2. And subtract that from 100. And write that in larger numbers. Or if you prefer, you can subtract the number wrong from 50 and multiply that answer by 2. It all works out the same. Whatever's more convenient. And then hand it back to the owners. You can't have too many questions. You're a small class. We'll see. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to do it page by page. Okay? Systematically. Rather than jumping back and forth. Okay, does anybody have a question on page 1?
What exactly did Amalek mean?
Well, I gave you several things on it. It had to do with announcing, speaking forth, the root word is ana, which means to answer. I also gave you an answer. I also gave you, see, ana also means to afflict. There's two different verbs. They're spelled the same, but they're different. It means to afflict, and that's what he was going to announce to them, was their affliction and their destruction. So I also said that. But primarily it has the idea of going forth to testify. It means one who answers. Or the answering one, yes. Well, I gave the answer C, but I don't remember what I taught you.
I didn't have it in my notes, and the question came to my mind, and I just kind of looked everywhere and never found anything. I got a good guess.
How many missed that one? Number one.
You said it was probably not older than 30.
I thought 18 to 25 was in your notes. Okay, so that was in the notes then. I don't really remember it. You know, it's not really a critical point to me, and so I don't have it fixed in my mind. Okay. But apparently others do, so I have to assume that I did say it.
By accident.
Any other questions on page 1? Okay, page 2. Any questions there? No questions? Page 3 then. Yes? Number 13.
I circled E. I mean, I circled D because E, they have because they had examples of what happened in other countries.
I do remember telling you that they had yet to see the judgments foretold by the earlier prophets. Now I can see the point here. It might be more clear if it said foretold by the earlier prophets regarding Judah come to pass. The question is, will I accept D? For that reason. How many took D? For basically those reasons, huh? Let's be honest. Yeah, majority doesn't rule in this class, sorry. This is a absolute dictatorship. There's a little mercy in there, too. All right, I'll accept D. So I need a little revision there. Any other questions on page 3?
A went from 14, A went 5.
No, because it C really is the better answer. It's not so much because it was destroyed.
It's talking about the millennium, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was the millennium, C. And that's the point behind it. It's the millennium, and it's not that the ark is destroyed, because see, they even though they didn't have the ark when they came back, they put a stone in there instead, you know, to represent it. And they talked about it. And so this is speaking of the millennium, and in the millennium, the focus is that Jerusalem has become the throne of the Lord. In other words, that which the ark represented is now actually in residence. Any other questions on page 3? Okay, page 4. Any questions here? Paul.
Question 18, with being the sanctuary, they're abandoned by God. What really happened in Shiloh?
When I looked at the answer, I was trying to remember. It fell into into decay. I know that, but I think it was also the city was destroyed too.
I read the constant chain of the Shiloh was burned.
It was burned. Okay. But what would you answer other than C? In other words, Israel was defeated there by Syria. That's not the answer. A plague wiped out a large portion of Judah's army. That doesn't answer it either. And a tremendous earthquake devastated the land. I mean, where are you going to get that from? If you can prove it to me from Scripture, I might accept it. Or a band of Chaldeans carried away the inhabitants. That you can't find that either. So you're really only left with C. Even though I think that it should probably be better worded, that it fell in, you know, it was abandoned by God because it was had fallen into decay and because of the sin of the people, basically.
I put that on E simply because that was to be an object lesson.
But see, that's not what happened at Shiloh. Yeah, but that's not what happened at Shiloh. That's a problem, though. This one hasn't been revised in 4 years, so it's due for a revision. Okay, any other questions on page 4? Page 5. Only got 2 questions here. Everybody got it perfect, so great. Okay. So, put the score, should be the number of minus, if there's any changes on it, change the number of minus and multiply that number, that the new number that they missed, and subtract that from 100, and let that be the largest number up there. So we can see that clearly, and we'll turn it in. Somebody like to volunteer to go down and thank you. She was sitting at the first table inside the library when I was in there for a minute. Pick up Julie. Well, from the number of questions that were asked, I can estimate that the average score was 98. Well, 95? We're believing God for a miracle. Is that what it is? Okay. We left off in chapter 13.
Verse 22. See right there at the top. 100%. Well, not quite. There is one, though. There goes the curve.
Okay. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 22. You'll have, I think you have three more tests. Today? There's three more regular tests and then a final, and I haven't decided whether I'll give you the final or not. It's a biggie. Kind of waiting for a second here so that...
This one was over 110. What was the next one?
I think the next one is through chapter 20. And the third one, I think, is up through chapter 30, and I think the fourth one covers everything from 30 or 40 on out. That's because we cover chapters 30 and following very rapidly. And there are also a number of passages in there that we don't cover. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 22.
And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. You might compare Isaiah chapter 3, verse 17 here. Isaiah 3:17. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. It's a great shame. Might also put here chapter 47, verse 3 of Isaiah. And Nahum, chapter 3, verse 5. NAS says it better, your skirts have been removed. Thy skirts are discovered, thy skirts have been removed. The judgment that had befallen Judah is likened to the exposure of the limbs. In a culture where it was gross evil to expose one's body, this body made naked shows national destruction and great shame. Thy heels made bare, literally, as your heels suffer violence. Their sin caused very painful consequences. Now Christ's heel was bruised for us, you see in Genesis chapter 3:15. But in rejecting the covenant, they had to suffer sin's penalty personally. Verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now the Ethiopian here is in Hebrew the Cushite. He's one from Ham, representing black people. Okay? He's saying there's no change possible here. You can't change the color of skin. Or with a leopard spot. You can't change a leopard spot. It's a spot, you just can't change it. It's not like you can wipe them off and paint them on somewhere else. They don't stay. It grows that way. It's the way they are. It's intrinsic. It's their nature. And it seems to be the same with Judah's sin in the natural. How can they change? They can't. Seems to be their nature, and it has been from the day they've been brought out of Egypt, is to be a gainsaying people. But by God's power, those trained and accustomed to evil can be made to do good. Else how would we be here? We were the leopards with spots all over us. Black with sin. That's what is said of the Shulamite. I'm black. And then we see that she has dove's eyes later. And then later she's a dove. my dove, my undefiled. Amazing. Transformation. Power of God. Oh, there goes a spotted animal right now. And Dalmatian. Can a Dalmatian change his spots? Nope. That's right. God sent that by, you know. I've never seen a Dalmatian run through here before. Confirmation of the word, that's right. Tape students are all going, what in the world is he talking about? God can and will bring total miraculous change by his grace. We need something to lighten this up now and then. Jeremiah sometimes gets a little on the heavy side, you know? Not without purpose, though. By his grace, he can perform miraculous changes. Chapter 33, verses 6 through 9. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. So God can do it. His power can. We need to hang on to that promise. Really, when we find ourselves, see, because the devil will come and say, you're not changing, you can't change. This is the way you are. Now, it always comes in that first person. I can't change. I can't do it. It's too hard. That's the demon speaking out. Because they can't change. It is too hard. It is impossible for them. It's impossible for them. They lived in enlightenment, and they sinned willingly. There is no chance for them. They have no hope. So they come to you and say, I have no hope. And you go, I have no hope. I want to be the devil's parrot. We have a hope. No matter what the situation looks like, if we trust God, he can turn it around. And that he proves throughout the scriptures. And he points back to all the situations where he did it. This is what is written unto us for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things for our sake, that we might know that though in the natural the leopard can't change his spots, yet God can. Shall a leopard lay down, or shall a lion lay down with a lamb? That's what he says will happen. Shall a child put his hand in the hole of an asp? No, a poisonous snake? That's going to happen. There won't be the fear. There won't be the worry about it. Now, Rotherham reads it this way. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Even ye may be able to do right who are accustomed to do wrong. In other words, giving a promise right within here. Saying, in the natural, it's impossible. But you might be able to do right who are accustomed to do wrong. You might be. And the Hebrew can go either way, either as sarcasm or as hope. In either case, it's impossible in the natural, but God can do it. Verse 24, therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. The stubble is chaff. They'll be blown away. It says judgment because they won't do right. And it's mercy and judgment to purify them that do right. You know, when he comes and blows the chaff away in our life, it's a good thing. It may be painful. It may be difficult. You know, if you take the picture of wheat being separated from the chaff, you know, if you were that little kernel of wheat and you had an ox that weighed a million times what you weigh, tromping on you to break the husk, this doesn't sound too pleasant. And then to get thrown up in the air and blown about by the wind and then dropped to the ground. That's how the wheat comes out. And that's how the chaff is blown away. We got a little bit of chaff, perhaps. a little bit of husk around our hearts, a little bit of hardness sometimes. And sometimes it takes a little bit of treading out to separate the wheat from the chaff. But in all honesty, that's what we want. That's what we want. Verse 25. This is thy lot, the lot of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. The portion, Rotheram has thy measured portion from me. It's their measured portion that they're going to be stomped on, so to speak, blown away as chaff in judgment. And he's also doing it so he can draw that remnant out later. Far more chaff than there is wheat. You know, you look at a wheat field, it's got all these huge stalks, go way up, you know, get real tall. And it's all for this little tiny grain. There's far more chaff than there is wheat. And so God has to do this by judgment, and this is their portion. It's because of their sins, because in their life there was far more chaff than there was wheat. And in fact, when it got down to it, the field was filled with darnel, which wasn't wheat at all. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 18, he says, you have procured this unto you yourself. You purchased it for yourself. This is your portion. Verse 26, therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. Excuse me. I discover thy skirts upon thy face. The Hebrew is, I will throw up your skirts over your face. It's an act of great shame, and their sin will truly shame them one day. He's been telling this for a long time, and still they will not hear. Verse 27, I have seen thine adulteries, and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills, in the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? Rotheram says, wilt thou not become pure? After how long yet? There's a glimmer of hope that connects up with verse 23 here, that you may be able to change. You may be able to change. There's a glimmer of hope. But it's a cry of the Lord, a longing cry. Won't you be made clean? I've made the provision. It's the blood of the Lamb. But it's offered in faith. Won't you do that? How long will it be? Chapter 14. Now, from here to the end of chapter 17, we have a new discourse. And we don't have an exact date for it. Verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Now, the dearth means drought. And it's hard to date this section. Verses 15, or chapter 15, verse 15 implies that Jeremiah had already suffered some persecution for his ministry. Therefore, it possibly comes no earlier than the reign of Jehoiakim. Literally, it says, concerning the matter of droughts. And it's a plural. Now, it's either a plural because several at different times are in view, or it may be a plural of extent showing the severity of the drought. Verse 2, Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black under the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. They are black under the ground. Rotheram has, they lie in gloom on the ground. Judah does, and their land does. Verse 3, and their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits, and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. Now, the little ones represent the servants, the lesser ones, the lower ones. And the pits were cisterns for collecting rainwater. But these had to cover their heads, a sign of humiliation and mourning. It's a type of the saint today who is not gushing with rivers of living water flowing out of his life. He should be mourning his state. But generally, he is not. Today, they don't even know to mourn. They don't even know that they don't have water. They don't even know that the cisterns they've made are broken. and they can't even hold water. Verse 4, because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. This word chapped represents the cracking of the earth. During droughts, the cracks in the ground up to a cubit wide were seen in this area. The literal word for chapped is shattered. You know, the impression is the ground is shattered. If you've ever seen an area heavily in drought that is as chapped like this, it looks shattered. It looks like somebody came along, you know, like a window on a car. Somebody hit with a sledgehammer, and the whole thing just went... That's the way the whole ground looks, shattered. And it really is by sin in this case. We'll continue on Monday. Yes.
My sister be broken. Just the whole ground. I have to be broken.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, not all of them were below the ground, kind of. But they could also be, the walls could crumble in and break down too, even if it was a pit. But not all of them were below the ground. Some of them were above ground cisterns. Some of them were man-made too, above the ground.